Will you pray with me? God of healing and hope, open our eyes, open our ears. Help us to know the power of your freedom and your purpose in our lives. Let your Spirit meet us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that by current estimates, each one of us is subjected to more information each day than a person in the Middle Ages was subjected to in an entire lifetime? Think about that for a moment. The amount of information you and I have access to via print or digital media or other means is more per day than a person in the Middle Ages was exposed to in a lifetime. Whether in the form of traditional media like television and newspapers, or new media like email, online news stories, blog posts, social media updates, push notifications, or just the billions and billions and billions of pages of information online, we are absolutely overloaded. And if you look around, you will see the effect of all of this. Everyone has their head down, or almost everyone. So many of us, and I will admit I am absolutely one of them, so many of us spend a good bit of the day like this, arm extended, hand down, head tilted, eyes down. And if you are not doing that, you will mostly see the sides and backs of other people's heads who are doing that. As small as that phone is, all of that information in it is putting the weight of the world on our shoulders. In literal terms, when we hunch over our laptops or our digital devices, scientists say it is roughly the equivalent of carrying 60 pounds around our necks, because the head itself is 10 pounds, and each bit you lean it forward and hold it, the more pressure you are putting and carrying on your body. So researchers now say that text neck is reaching epidemic proportions, with nearly 60% of adults at risk for technology-based injury to head, neck, or shoulders. With so much new information literally weighing us down, it is increasingly difficult to even decide anymore what or who is worth paying attention to. And this is true whether or not you get your news from a phone or a TV or a piece of paper. And yet, in the midst of all of this information, all of this choice, and all of these opportunities for decision every day about who we'll listen to and what we'll believe and what we'll think, here we all are today. Heads up, eyes forward, doing this increasingly unusual, bracingly countercultural thing, paying attention to a single thing, a single small story. And it's not breaking news, and it's not even new news, but it is good news. A woman appears. We don't know her name. She shows up at the edges of a scene. You could almost miss her, Maybe most people did. Jesus had been traveling to Jerusalem, teaching along the way as he walked along the roads and through the villages, healing people, casting out demons. Thousands of people began finding him on the road, following him, coming to listen, to ask questions, to learn, to be healed. Some days, Luke says, the crowds were so thick that the people would trample on each other. But this day is different because Jesus is not on the road, but in the synagogue. It's a smaller space, more intimate. The women on one side, the men on another. There would not have been thousands, but there probably would have been as many as the building could hold. It is the Sabbath, and the people are gathered for worship. And though Jesus will continue teaching all the way to Jerusalem, this will be the last time it happens in a synagogue. And while he is teaching, he sees a woman. She is bent over. Luke says she's been this way for 18 years, bent completely forward, he says. Unable to stand up straight, he says. Imagine. You spend your days, you spend your years, face bent down towards the ground, not by choice. Not because you're looking at something that fascinates you, but because you simply cannot stand up. You cannot raise yourself up straight, cannot lift your face to look directly into the eyes of another. You can crane your head up from a hunched position, but you can never see another adult eye to eye unless they bend down too. If you've ever spent any amount of time in a wheelchair or a hospital bed or with a walker, then you know. There is something isolating about not being able to be on the same physical level as the people around you. Physical disability often comes with a social cost. A sense of being treated as not quite equal as the rest. A sense of being seen as not quite on the same level. 18 years is a long time to live bent towards the ground, cut off from face-to-face contact with others. Maybe the woman had gotten used to her lowered status. Sometimes it hurts less to accept a sad reality than to hope that things will change. Sometimes hope is harder than resignation. Lots of people in the Gospels did call out for Jesus to heal them, but this woman does not. She makes no request of him at all. In fact, she never says a word. In the crowded synagogue, in her stooped position, maybe she can't even see him. But he sees her. Luke wants us to see her too. Behold, Luke actually says to us, behold, a woman with a spirit of infirmity. Can you see her? Jesus does. Jesus always sees. And he calls out to her. And with a word, he pronounces a new reality for her. Woman, you have been set free. And then he goes to her and he lays his hands on her, which in Scripture is also a sign of blessing. He touches her, he takes hold of her, and all of a sudden, she stands up straight. Actually, that's not quite right. It's not as clear to us in the English, but what Luke actually tells us is not that she stands up straight, but that she was straightened up. She who could not straighten herself has now, by the voice and the hands of Jesus the teacher, she has now been straightened. She has been lifted. She has been raised to walk in a new life. And notice the order of things. Jesus tells her, "You are set free." And then he touches her, and then she is straightened. Which part healed her? Was it the word, or was it the touch? Is it possible that the new truth actually occurred for her as soon as Jesus spoke it? And is it possible that it wasn't until he touched her that she was able to rise to the new reality he had said for her? Isn't this the way it sometimes is? We've been told this is true. We know in our heads that this is the truth of the gospel. You are set free. We know the words. We know what is supposed to be true. You have been released from sin, from shame, from bondage, from guilt, from anxiety. The good news of God comes to us in Jesus, pronouncing a word, the word of love and grace and goodness and release and yes over our lives. We come here every week and hear it. We come here and we sing it, and we say it, and we try to believe it. But sometimes something in us just cannot rise to it. We are set free, but we can't always manage to stand up in that, to live the new life. Some of us have been bent down by the rude facts of our lives. We've had hard and unexpected and unwelcomed experiences distort the lives we had planned. We carry the load of our worries and our sadness. Loss wraps itself like a weight around our shoulders. Anxiety clutches at our throats, and we want to rise up. We want to feel free and healed and whole and good, and we try. We try. Or, for some of us, it is not so much that we are living with disabling burdens of sadness or anxiety or loss or guilt or fear. Some of us, especially if we are young or have not yet had some of the harder facts of life laid on our shoulders, maybe aren't so much pushed down as we are preoccupied, heads down, absorbed in our own lives, distracted by our thoughts or the world in our pocket, in our hands. But we too are called to rise. We too have been set free from distraction, from small preoccupations. We know there is more fullness to be had in our lives. We have been set free to live toward a bigger purpose, and we try. We try. But there are so many distractions. There are burdens that get laid on us, but there are also burdens that we choose. And the result can be the same, a life curved in on itself, a distorted version of the life we meant to be living. And for all our trying, we cannot undistort ourselves. We cannot seem to unbend our own lives and rise up to a new fullness on our own. Sometimes what it takes is not just hearing the truth and trying to believe it, you are set free. Sometimes what it takes is what Jesus gave that woman, the blessing of physical presence, body to body, person to person, the simple healing power of one person reaching towards another. Isn't that why we're here this morning rather than 1,000 other places we could be? Of course, we can experience the liberating power of God in nature, in scripture, in solitude, in silence. Of course. But ours is also a physical faith, an incarnational faith, a faith that says the Word became flesh. It's not just a head thing or a heart thing or a silence thing. It's a body thing, which is to say that physically being with other people who are also trying to rise up by God's power into the freedom that God gives, this matters, this physical presence. Physically being with people who will remind us, you are set free. And you are more than what happens to you. And you have a greater purpose. Our physical presence with each other matters. It blesses. It empowers. It is the power of God that raises us, that frees us from our curved-in lives, that rebuilds us when we thought we were ruined. It is the power of God and not our own power. We are not Jesus, but together we are his body. And sometimes we come to know his power best. We feel it closest in the eyes and the voices and the bodies of other people. If you have come here this morning with a bent over spirit, gripped by the pain of grief or guilt or fear, you may not have come looking for release. You may not believe anymore that things can change or that you can rise up. But a voice is calling out to you, woman, you are set free. Man, you are set free. And the power of God can lift you, straighten you, rebuild you. That power is here, right here in this room for you right now. And there are people in this room right here with you, committed to that new reality, to that good news, yearning to rise up with you to the new truth that has already been pronounced over us all. And if you've come here this morning from a place of preoccupation, turned inwards, absorbed in 1,000 tiny distractions and details, you may not have come looking for a higher purpose. You may not even believe just yet that there are things more worthy of your attention. But a voice is calling out to you too. Behold, that voice says, look, see, notice the people in your life. Look them in the eye. See who they are. See the people at the edges who are often overlooked. There are people on the street and in your home and in this room who need to be seen. And there is Jesus himself, quiet as the bent over woman, appearing at the margins of our lives, waiting for our attention. There are hundreds of choices and thousands of stories and billions of pieces of information that demand our eyes and our brains and our energies every day. But this story, this small, simple story, this one is ours. And it still wants to speak to us. He still wants to speak to us. He sees you. He says to you, "You are set free." And he lays himself for you and within you. And you have been raised.